What's going on, guys?
Hey, this is Mick with Mick and May in the Morning.
And that was...
This is Sean over here. Yeah.
And I'm May. I'm Greg May here. This is the inaugural show, Mick and May in the Morning, even though we're recording this on a Saturday night.
And we will be recording pretty much
Saturday nights.
Yeah.
But it's going to be ready for your morning enjoyment on your morning commute and whatever else you got going on. So, show's going to take about various different topics, hot button topics, what we think is going to, what matters to you, the listener. And got a bunch of different topics to get into tonight. Namely, we're going to talk about changes around South Jersey. This show, we originate from the South Jersey area. So today, Mick and myself, we went around a few different locations and we saw some things that have drastically changed in South Jersey. So we'll share those with you. We're going to look into a bit of a quest that we went on as well down at the Berlin Martin, Berlin, New Jersey. We're going to talk about our generation and how Mick and I think we're lost. So
basically the lost generation, yeah.
That's right. And we'll get into that as well with some sports that Sean's going to give us, some sports news, the Rutgers coach.
Oh, yeah. Rutgers coach recently fired. Retroactively, he was found to be abusive to his players.
Which is a little silly because that's just how
calling them
are, yeah.
Homophobic slurs and throwing balls at their heads, things of that nature. So, and another, actually, addition to that story broke earlier today. The athletic director, his name escapes me right now, but he resigned today. There's a public outcry. They're going headhunting up there in Rutgers, New Brunswick.
Remember, who was the one? The one that called all the women's basketball team nappy-headed hoes or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was
Don Imus.
Don Imus.
That was a few years ago. I remember that. That was... I'm not going to lie. I thought it was funny. It's funny, but not funny. One of those kind of things. But
well, it's in bad taste.
It's just in bad taste. You can't do it. You just can't do it. And now they're hen-hunting for the president of the university. I don't see how that's a little extreme.
But
in order to... to save their public image.
It's not a institution of higher learning. It's a business.
Yes,
that's how they're running
exactly.
It's like a business.
It's just athletic programs across the country. They all draw in the most amount of revenue for their university.
It's a multi-billion-dollar industry nationwide.
So,
yeah, but that's a lot of top stories that we have going on. There's a story going on with fast food workers in New York. They're trying to form a union. We'll talk about what we've all been watching, whether it be movies, TV lately. And here's a fun topic. I thought of best console of all time and why, and we'll cycle through what all of our opinions are on that.
Only mine is right, though.
We'll get to that.
We'll see about that.
All right. Well, we will take a break. We'll come back with more. We'll get into some of these stories. And you're listening to Mick and May in the Morning right here. We'll be right back.
somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
Gorilla Rage Radio.
Radio. Gorilla Radio.
The new band, Rage Against the Machine, here on Mick and May in the Morning. Getting into our first main topic of the show. Today, Mick and myself, we were running around.
I think I drove like 90 miles today around South Jersey, just randomly.
Saturday drive, luxury drive.
Yeah, just a little luxury driving. But no, we were looking for, particularly we were looking for Super Smash Brothers for the GameCube, which we cannot find it anywhere for a reasonable price. But we were just driving around to different locations in South Jersey. Like, we went to the remnants of the Echelon Mall. What's it called now? The Voorhees Plaza.
Voorhees Town Center, Town Center, actually. That was odd.
Yeah, it was weird. I haven't been to that place in like 10 years. It used to be...
The Echelon Mall closed, what, maybe seven to 10 years
I'll look it up.
Ago.
Yeah. We don't ask questions. We have the internet.
Yeah, we have the internet. Why would we ask
questions? There are no more questions in this generation.
Yeah, but I haven't been to that mall in like 10 years or so. I used to go to it when I was a kid all the time, and like, it's so weird seeing this major part of your childhood, and it's just basically gone or utterly transformed. I think the only thing that's really the same there is the food court. That's like the only thing.
Oh, yeah, the food court looked exactly.
People got to eat.
Yeah, people got to eat, apparently.
Someone shop and eat.
But they can demolish half a mall and put up apartment buildings or whatever. It was just weird seeing it.
All right, so I got the Wikipedia page on this. So now Wikipedia, you know, it's Wikipedia, so it could be either way.
Yeah, a seven-year-old wrote that article.
But get this. The Echelon Mall opened in 1970.
Wow.
And it says that Echelon Mall was built on an airfield nearly 200 acres long.
I thought you were going to say an Indian burial ground.
That's why you had that graveyard feeling when we were walking through.
Yeah, when I was walking through, I really felt like I was walking in a tomb or walking in a grave. I felt wrong because it was so different from when I was a kid.
Now, this mall had the largest gross leasable area, which was 1,127,308 square feet.
That's a lot of square feet.
It made it the second largest mall in southern New Jersey after the Cherry Hill Mall.
Now it's kind of a no man's land because you look at it. I mean, there's Christiana Mall, which is, you know, it's pretty close in South Jersey. It's still kind of the South Jersey area. It has, you know, more stores to it. A lot of people go down there. It's like, I guess, designer stuff.
The Echelon Mall just had a bad location.
And I read this wrong, actually.
That's
I read this wrong. The
Same
Echelon
thing.
Area was formed in 1970. It was a commercial district. In 1992, the Echelon Mall opened a... Okay, it is 1970. Remember when that girl at the comic... I'm going all over the place. But
yeah. Focus here, Greg.
But remember when we were in that store today in the mall and the girl told us about the Exilorama place?
Uh-huh.
I'm starting to read this. 1992, the Echelon Mall opened a family entertainment center called the Exilorama, which was operated by the Edison Brothers Stores, which was a main thing that kind of... ran the whole thing going on
like
over
that
there.
That mall business area. They're mall tycoons.
So that's Echelon Township?
Yeah.
So.
Huh.
And that lasted, so you figure 1970, it was around for 30 years here. It says Echelon was a very popular mall up until around 2000.
Yeah.
Then that's when it started to decline. And, you know, that seems about right.
Well, the Deptford Mall came into existence.
Yeah, the Deptford Mall has such a better location.
It's
Echelon
just what
Mall.
What high school
was
even around Echelon? What?
Well, that's the thing. It was like a destination place. You went to the Echelon Mall.
But then they built the Deptford Mall.
Well, the Echelon Mall was around longer than the Deptford Mall. The Deptford Mall, I just looked this up now, 1975.
But the Deptford Mall is just so much more in a convenient area. And once
that
malls,
area is all, it's got all restaurants, everything. It's just everything's there.
And the first actual stores that were in Deptford was Sears, Bambergers and Wanamakers. Now, I've heard of Wanamakers.
What's
never heard of
Bambergers?
What Bambergers?
Babbage's? Remember Babbage's?
Yeah, the software store. Bambergers.
I miss Babbage's.
I'm wondering who owns this. Let's look this up here.
Yeah, we're just actually, you know, this is not the Mick and May Morning Show. This is the Wikipedia troll show. We're just gonna crawl.
We're just gonna read off. We're just gonna read Wikipedia to you.
Yeah. apparently, there's like a game where if you can basically you click the top link in Wikipedia, like on any page, eventually you'll wind up on psychology for some reason. I don't know. I've done it a couple times with random
Listen
pages.
Listen to him, kids. He knows what he's talking
about.
Yeah,
I've done it a couple times. Just click
on
the
Well, Bamberger's
first...
was a small department store. It's now owned by Macy's.
Oh, yeah. We could have a whole other segment or a whole show rather, on where Wikipedia has led me.
Oh, man. I've gone some weird places on the internet. Weird places.
But anyway, back on track, the mall around 2005 was considered a dead mall. And actually, there was an expansion that which was built in 1998 Sears. Now, I remember walking through that Sears, actually.
Gone.
But yeah, we went there. So the angle of the dangle is that we went in there today, and the mall is literally cut in half.
Yeah, they knocked it down.
I mean, when we were walking through the Macy's, we were like, is the Macy's the only store here?
It really looked like it was just a standalone Macy's. Like, do they make standalone Macy's? I don't think
yes,
so.
Yes, they do. I think they do. There's like a couple dirt malls like around somewhere. Like I know Burlington has like down like when you're not Burlington, Cumberland, when you're driving down towards the shore. You know, like remember when we got off like in Millville and we went like on that ass end trip and Jerry almost killed us?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the other side,
Jerry is my phone's GPS that tried to murder us.
Was I out?
Yeah,
you were there. That was when we went to the GameStop.
Yeah, we were looking for another.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
All of these adventures focus around.
Oh,
she
took us into like some trailer park, right?
Yeah, yeah. We were looking for a GameStop, and I put in the address in the GameStop, and it took us in this like random neighborhood trailer park. It's like my GPS is trying to get us killed.
I thought it was going to be a little white painted sign out that had like GameStop, a white sign with GameStop written in red.
It's spelled wrong, like Game Spot or something.
Like the Chick-fil-A sign, but it's GameStop.
It's like G-A-M.
And a stop sign.
S-T-P.
And a stop
GameStop. No.
So the whole point of this is you look at all these areas and stuff like this, and I'm going to throw this off to you. Because what we really found was that so much has changed in the area, and it's like almost – it's mind-blowing, the things that have happened in our area.
And it's not just our area. It's the whole nation, like the way the economy is going. I blame the internet, personally. It's a major game changer. Like all these big boutique stores, all the things, like everywhere we're going, we're asking, hey, where can we find this? It's like, have you tried the internet? Have you tried going online? It's like, we want to just go to a store and buy something. That's what people used to do. But now you just go on the internet, and I think that may have been a major cause of the decline of these malls.
Well, there's a Facebook. Did you guys see the Facebook? There's a picture going around of George Carlin. Did you see the long quote? It's a very, very long quote, almost like an essay.
Yeah, I don't really book much face,
But you know George Carlin is – he was pretty –
You are aware of television.
Brilliant, actually.
They show shows on it.
He was a very, very intelligent man, and you just read this quote, and he just – something about him. He just knew. He just got
Well, what's the quote decided. About? I got my laptop right here.
Just look it on Facebook. I just posted it to my news feed.
Oh, you posted it on your news feed.
Yeah,
I'll bring it up here.
Yeah, I have it on my
Let's
news
Let's see
feed.
Who can do this faster, iPhone
no, I,
or
I
laptop.
Submit. I don't feel like searching.
He submits. He submits. All right, so we got – oh, here we go, here we go, here
it's
we go.
It's a very long quote. So you're probably not going to want to read the whole thing.
Or you could try to do it in a George Carlin voice.
Just try to give us a synopsis.
Or you can do it in either your Kermit voice or your...
Hi-ho, you guys want to hear a Kermit?
or your Skeletor. Or not Skeletor.
Skeletor, yeah.
Yeah, Skeletor.
That was kind of like a Lumberg and Kermit.
Well, this is a bit of an essay here, yeah.
Yo, I'm going to need you to...
Coming on Saturday. Okay.
Well, you know what? You know what? You know what? I'm going to read it, and if I start boring you guys, then stop me.
So, but you can't because we're a podcast. We're pre-recorded.
Okay, so according to George Carlin, the paradox of our time.
Board.
Let's get the Cliff Notes on it, Greg. The by the way, his middle name is Clifford, so it's the Cliff.
That could note. Be a segment later.
Oh,
on.
Cliff's
we gotta
think
Notes. Of some kind of song. The Clifford the Big Red Dog theme song. We gotta look that up.
Can.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah.
I knew it was a cartoon.
It was a cartoon. It had to. Clifford.
This is all filler while Greg reads the quote, by the way.
Yeah,
totally.
But yeah, the internet, I think it really changed the game. And then you had the recession in the 90s, towards the end of it. Going into the 2000s, it's the internet age.
It's just general social interaction doesn't really exist anymore. I keep referencing Facebook, but if people post these pictures like, you saw how people interacted in the 60s and 70s. They're all sitting around a table. They're talking
to people.
Now you see, like, when our generation goes out, we're all sitting on our iPhones. We're not talking to each other. We're all sitting at the same table.
We're just not interacting.
Looking at our, you know.
Oh, yeah. I recently had a huge, like, blow up on Facebook. I tried to get in touch with someone, and they defriended me without even talking to me. I just posted this huge rant about how we have this technology. It makes it so much easier to talk to people, and people are just using it to ignore each other, basically. Yeah,
pretty much.
Well, I mean, you take that, and even you can compare social networking now to the, like, if you look at communication theory, like, there's the whole idea of social penetration theory and how, like, the person.
Penetration.
The person.
Come on.
This seems like this is going to happen many times. But you take this idea of social penetration. I can't even think of it now without trying to laugh. There's like an onion theory, and the personality of a human being is layers of an onion where you have the external and the internal. And you take like something like Facebook, and Facebook already takes that first external layer off. Like, say I didn't know any of your interest. But if you start even back with, like, MySpace, with, like, when you used to have the About Me and you used to be able to have, like, your music that you liked and your movies and inspirational books and quotes and people you want to meet. But that's, like, a whole external layer of somebody. That takes almost 1 to 2 conversations with somebody.
To get a lot of that out.
To get a lot of that out. Like, with just looking at you, I don't know what type of music you like or what movies you enjoy.
I don't know. I'm wearing a metal shirt.
Well, no shit. But, I mean, for the interest of the listeners... You take something like that and you go, okay, I know what kind of books you like, I know what kind of movies you like, and I know what kind of music you like. And if you're not on private, I already know that without even having a conversation with you. So people are less willing of making – people used to be more disclosed to the fact that they would have more intimate conversations with people. And it works that way even with the online dating services and stuff like this. People are making relationships and having these levels of intimacy with people that they've never even met.
Yeah, because they know
fast food generation.
Yeah, they know everything about everything.
We want instant gratification.
Well, it's always the whole catfish idea.
The Manti Te'o. Huh? Yeah, you remember that whole
he
thing?
He got catfished.
You know. Whoosh. I have no idea.
Well, Manti Te'o, what did he play for? Notre Dame?
Yeah, Notre Dame linebacker who was caught up in this big scandal. It really was, my opinion, completely blown out.
Explain the catfish thing.
So catfish is basically when someone, say Greg and I were to make up a girl that was talking to you on the internet.
So it's like a fake online thing.
It's a fake girlfriend.
But apparently with Manti Te'o, it was some crazy stalker. I think it was a man. It was actually a guy that could do it.
It's always a guy.
He was on Dr. Phil, the guy who did it, and did his impression of a woman's voice behind like a curtain. And it was
like spot on,
ridiculous.
Like
it would have got me.
There's a movie actually. I know MTV now has a series. I don't watch MTV anymore because it's not music television anymore.
Oh wait, I have heard of it. It's called Catfish.
Yeah,
but before that
show, there was actually a movie. It's an independent documentary. I recommend it to you. Watch it. It's actually really good.
Do you have it on VHS?
No, but I think Christina has it on Blu-ray. We got it from Blockbuster went out of business and we grabbed it.
Ballbuster.
Yeah, Ballbuster went out of business. But anyway, it's about this guy, and I forget what his name is, but he's like an Arab individual, and he goes online and he begins talking to this girl who sends him music and stuff like that. And the more and more she researches this, the more and more fake he realizes that she is. Like, he starts to like Shazam songs and stuff like that she sent him, thinking that she made it, but it's already licensed music by somebody else.
Yeah.
People go to great lengths to try to fool
and it gets to the point where he finally goes down to where she apparently is.
And it's like a warehouse.
No, it's an actual home. It's a woman. It was a woman, but it was an unattractive woman. She was very old, an older woman. Mm-hmm. And she had two slow children, like two mentally handicapped children, and like a husband.
That's actually not
who was,
the
like,
political
crazy
term for that anymore, and we'll get to that later.
We'll be more – we'll have PC corner?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about how people are like overly sensitive to, you know.
Yeah, that's right. We will get into that later.
Yeah.
As a society, we're mentally handicapped. I will put a pin in that.
You know, I'll write that down for later.
Jot it down.
We got a my Microsoft Word pad here. We can write that up on. Little plug.
Yeah.
Our unofficial sponsor.
All right. So she had these two kids, and
it was just a complete, like, she was just sad about her life, and she lived vicariously through this woman that she had created for herself on Facebook and had in turn catfished him into blooming a relationship, and she did the voice for him and everything. And it was a very intense film. I mean, it was very good. Very good. I recommend it, though. And it really, in a nutshell, incorporates what this whole generation of catfishing and false identity and what people expect. And I don't know it off the top of my head because I don't have my notes in front of me for class, which is good because I should study for that exam
maybe.
That I have on Monday. But there's a comparison level of alternatives or something like that where it's like the minimum that you as a person will accept about somebody that'll be like satisfactory for you to have like a relationship with them. And there's like the hyper, it's like a hyper satisfactory. And there's all these factors of like the continuation of agreeingness. Like you, like, I don't know you, I'm talking to you on the internet and you go, you know, I like Stephen King books and I love Stephen King books.
Who doesn't?
It's just that.
Whoa, food. You eat food? I eat food too.
I think it's called like hyper-relation or something like
Soviet
that.
Russia.
In Soviet Russia. Yeah. Oh, man.
It's just the continual degradation of society and the internet being
not so much society as we're just creating a new form of society. It's like kind of this standoffish distance because we know so much about each other. We just don't care to get to know one another.
It's almost that we've become less disclosed behind our computers, but we've become more disclosed in person.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. We'll say everything on the internet, but you won't talk to someone on the street.
Yeah, anybody has it, like, and you take a look at even something as stupid as YouTube comments on a video.
Well, I'm victim. I admit it. I'm victim to this. I can be more open on the internet.
Well, I have a sort of a semi-tangential
Semi-tangential.
It kind of segues into
it.
But this is a moment of just asocial because people aren't antisocial. I call them asocial. They just like refuse to interact. Greg and I were frying up some chicken in his apartment, and we may have set off the smoke alarm for the entire building. So
Emeril Lagasse over here.
Yeah.
Bam.
But just keep in mind that cornflake fried chicken will flare up a little bit.
It's very good though.
Oh, it's delicious. But anyway, we're all trucking out of the building because the whole complex fire alarms went off. And I decide, we're standing out with this bunch of people. I'm going to put on the Harlem Shake and just start dancing and just see what happens. No one, they don't even acknowledge me. They don't even acknowledge what I'm doing. Okay, yes, it's a jackass just like dancing in the middle but at least.
But not even that,
something.
He's getting like dirty looks and like
it's
people
like,
are like,
oh, how dare he insult me?
Like, what the hell is going on?
I think they saw through what you were trying to do. I think they just saw. You're trying to be an attention.
Yeah, but I don't know that. If they knew you and you were the one doing that, like that's their friend, then they'd be like, ha ha ha, that's funny. Yeah. But people are afraid to embrace what
they don't
know.
Well, put yourself in that situation. Well, you're just sitting
out
there some
the
guy.
The very least, I expected someone to just like, shut the fuck up. Just drop that. Stop. Just stop. Please. You're white.
I don't know. I would probably just sit there and I don't know. I'm not the first guy to say something.
That's the thing, though. No one wants to interact. When I see someone doing something ridiculous, like, going on to the next thing. We saw a guy in a kilt. I talked to him. I spoke out to him. Hey, man, not really kilt weather. It's a little chilly for that. I reached out to him.
Yeah, but he didn't even seem like he wanted to communicate with you. And he's wearing something that's going to draw attention to
himself.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't do something to draw attention. But apparently in this society, you can do whatever you want to draw as much attention you want, but no one's going to give you any because we're have this internet fixation. And if it's not on the internet, we can't comment or like on it. It's not relevant to us. So
I think that we've really encompassed what it is that our generation has been degrading itself into.
I don't think it's really a degradation. It's just a transformation.
It's like an evolution?
Yeah, it's an evolution. Like we've had this major game changer in social media, and this is how we interact now. Take it or leave it, whether you like it or not. Like, 10, 20 years from now, it might just be the norm.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that we're going to become that disclosed personally with people?
I don't know. It seems okay. You can still break in to a group, but you have to be kind of thrust into this relationship. Like, you have to meet someone at work or meet someone at class. And as long as those kind of places exist and you kind of have to talk to people and you kind of have to interact, I guess you will still have the kind of so-called traditional way of communicating.
Yeah, I mean, there's that whole like ice break. I mean, it's easier to break the ice behind a computer monitor than it is to walk up to somebody in person. And there's some people too that still feel odd Communicating to others on the computer, which I find is completely odd.
Yeah, it's like you have total anonymity. You're like, what do you care?
You have like that whole like extension of time where like there's like – that's what I hate about communicating on the computer, because say you said something to a girl or like someone that you were interested
in. And just ignore
you. There's just time passes that goes by and you're just sitting there in like, you know, cybernetic hell.
Yeah, you're just waiting in limbo.
You're waiting. You're it's the whole age of –
Same thing with texting. You can send a text. You have no idea if they read it. No idea.
Well, now with iPhones, they have that.
Yeah,
red
well,
thing.
I have an Android, so I don't have that.
Yeah,
feature.
But just even like take the basic idea of instant messaging, different facets of the internet that we have just gone through, and just different types of things. I mean, you've gone from instant messenger, message boards back in the 90s.
Oh man, I remember BBS systems.
and then you take that evolution of AIM, and it goes into
who calls it AIM?
AIM.
It's
bro.
AIM. It's AIM.
It's Gregisms.
Gregisms. No one calls it AIM.
All right. So no one calls it AIM. They call it AIM. You just said it.
No one knows what an AIM is anymore.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. Nobody uses AIM anymore. Yeah. I mean, unless I know people with Macs. I think like iChat and like they're like they're crap. Yeah. Their Cry AIM accounts attached to their Cry Chat and.
From the Cry store and the crap store and the Cry cloud.
I mean, I used to use Pigeon when I used
Well,
which was like a multi
Pigeon,
app.
Yeah,
you could have your like Windows Live screen name.
ICQ, your Yahoo Messenger, your
MSN Messenger.
MSN Messenger.
Just think of the different dial up providers that there even was.
Oh,
there was
man.
Like Juno, NetZero, AOL.
Oh, there was another one. What was another one? Sean, quick, Sean, come on.
I'm not this technology savvy guy.
I don't know.
Yeah, this guy broke his computer within 2 minutes of me fixing it. So yeah, that's good.
That's pretty much the long and short of it.
Yeah, well, I think that we've touched all our bases on this. So
next,
we will take a break. We'll come back and we will jump into some other news, and we'll be back in a little bit here on Mick and May in the Morning.
Five Finger Death Punch here, Mick and May in the morning. And we got Sean here as well with us. He's hanging out.
Just chilling.
We got a little while.
Yeah, baby.
With him. That's right. So another topic we were going to get.
Topic?
You know,
taco pick.
I didn't mess up on the song. I nailed the song.
Five Finger Death Pup. Taco pick.
Just make acronyms. FFDP or something. DP is
taco.
Not.
All right, we're gonna have to have a segment of some taco picks. Just taco. I don't know what it's
going
to be about.
Taco picks.
Taco picks. This is radio. We're going to have pictures on the radio.
That's right.
Visually stimulating.
So another topic we were going to get into, I thought would have been fun, was the best console of all time and why. And we can throw that into retro gaming as well. So whoever wants to take a – I stepped off first on the last topic. So whoever wants
to – Well, you want to make lists? Do you guys like lists or
no? I'm not a
fan
of
lists.
Like everywhere on the internet, I'm going to be down on the internet because of the way it has shaped our society.
It's always easier to get – just think about it. It's always easier to get your top four and then that fifth one.
I don't like ordering anything. I like saying these are my favorite five, or these are just my favorite.
Well, that's
favorites.
Still a list. Yeah, if you say your favorite five.
Yeah, but I don't put them in any kind of delineated order. This is the best. This is the best.
Number five. You don't give them a direct rank.
Yeah,
just,
although
just,
I will.
Like,
I will
interchangeable.
Say my vote for best console of all time is going to be the PlayStation 2.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Great. Now all right,
end of segment.
About.
Go to commercial.
Segment. All right.
Done. I can see where you've gotten that, but I want you to elaborate on
all
it.
Right.
When I said I knew it, as in I knew you were going to say that.
Well, we'll let Mick start
okay.
this off because
start
you
off.
Know he's going to take the longest. So.
All right. Anyway, PlayStation 2, it has what I think a huge library of just great titles. Like, there's just so many things. Just go to Wikipedia, Greg, real quick, and just list off like a few dozen titles, and you'll have just so many solid things.
I'm gonna get back into the high tech.
Yeah. I'll just throw a title out there. My favorite, SOCOM 2.
That's a really great
my
game.
My first online experience was SOCOM 2, and that was my favorite online game. Just played that. I played it for 12 hours straight one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have like also random games like
Katamari. Everybody's done it.
God of War. You know, you just got a million and one games.
Oh, you could just
keep going.
Okay, so I have it here, and it says, with 3,857 games, the PlayStation 2 also has the largest library of games of any console, which succeeded as Sony's flagship console by the PlayStation 3.
They were still making PlayStation 2 games after the PlayStation 3 came out. Who does that?
And it was the second longest lived console of all time with a hardware lifespan of 12 years, 10 months. Just
who beat it out?
Guess.
SNES.
No, it's pretty easy.
Xbox 360?
No.
Wait, I don't know. I didn't know what the question was.
No. Longest lifespan. Like what?
Oh, longest lifespan?
Atari 2600.
Well, you think about
14
it, that
years and 3 months.
When that was first made, what was the next console?
The
that
lifespan.
Came out after
listen,
that?
The lifespan for an Atari 2600 was 1977 to 1992.
Wow,
people were still buying Atari games.
Wow,
that's a thing. No other real companies. It was still based on arcade gaming. Really, people still play the arcades.
It's true, but anyway, back to the PlayStation 2. It's also a DVD player. Back then, DVD players were they were relatively expensive. You know, just like Blu-ray players now, you know, you get a PlayStation 3, you also get a Blu-ray player. Same thing. You get a DVD player with a PlayStation 2. Huge library of games. The controller, I still consider the DualShock controller the most comfortable, best controller to use just for general gaming. It works for so many different things. There's been good controllers and there have been awful controllers, but I think that one is just solid. The graphical capabilities, it looks good. There are some PlayStation 2 games that they've held up well. Like, you look at N64, it hasn't aged well. Even, like, Xbox titles, they just don't look right. The PlayStation 2 is just a solid piece of machinery, and it just works. There's just so much you can do with it.
I completely agree with, like, everything you said.
Yeah.
I had another thought. It had the first, like, primitive dashboard. Like, you look
at these games now,
PS3s.
Yeah, I that's a good point with the browser and the other thing.
Yeah, even as primitive as it was, system configuration, and there's the other option on there. You can manage all your memory. You had your memory card, and you could go into it, delete what you wanted. Now, the PS3s and the Xbox 360s, that's one of their selling points now.
Yeah, it's like, look at this thing we had.
Look at this awesome, convenient dashboard. And
had,
PS2 was just two options, and there you had everything you needed right there.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah. I could just go series. Like, I'm a huge Naughty Dog series, their series fan. You know, Uncharted, obviously, is the newest one.
San Andreas.
The Grand Theft Auto, they're great. But I guess I'm kind of, this makes me immature, but maybe. But I still like the Jak and Daxter series. Yeah. The first one
was good. The second one, I enjoyed the three-room thing. I felt like the game was a little too difficult.
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it.
Not my favorite.
That's
kind
another
of
thing.
Game.
Those games were still hard. They were kind of.
Yeah.
A lot of them were challenging, but I mean, obviously, they're not going to be as challenging as, you know, Super Nintendo or Sega games,
well, those,
because
sometimes
those
are just punishing. They
weren't made that way. That they didn't know how to make a game.
Well,
more
I'll get
playable.
Into that when I get into my consoles. But that's an interesting point you bring up about the challenge level of older video games.
Yeah, but bullet points on PlayStation 2. Huge game library, also a DVD player, just a solid piece of machinery, controller, dashboard, everything about
just
it.
Really
just
really innovative.
Well-rounded,
innovative. Very innovative machine. Yeah. It was.
So you want me to go now on a console? All right, so I'll go on a console.
Floor is yours.
Atari! What Atari, though?
7600.
No, it's the 7800.
76, 78.
7800. So you take a pivotal point in Atari's history. Atari has the 2600. It's the father of home video consoles.
Who's the mother?
The Magnavox Odyssey.
Magnavox Odyssey. You were the only one who would know what that is. I've never heard of that in my life.
Maybe the Vectrex.
You see, I've heard of the
Vectrex. The Vectrex is a solid console. That is the greatest console of all time.
That's, no, I know.
We saw Top Loader Beta.
I'm being humorous. Berlin Mart.
But, so, Atari 2600, you take that. That's like, that goes from the beginning of home video game consoles, and it falls into what, like, ColecoVision and Intellivision as well. But then you have the video game crash of 1982, and then what happens in that, you have the Nintendo Entertainment System, which is a great console, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But that was your main commercial gaming peripheral, where games were still at a point where arcade gaming was games based on the skill of the player. And games don't exactly have to be graphically inclined to be great games. As long as the game is addicting, challenging, and involves the player, I believe that it's a great console or a great game. So you take something like the Atari 7800 that is released in the shadow of the Nintendo Entertainment System, which had a cheaper market release price. I don't know the exact price right now, and I can't look it up at the moment, but it had a cheaper release price than the Nintendo Entertainment System, so I guess namely people that couldn't afford the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Man, I got GameCast. I can't afford it.
You mean GameCube? No, GameCast.
Malibu's Most Wanted.
Yep. But anyway, the Atari 7800 was also called the Atari 7800 Pro System. Now, the game library for the Atari 7800 was mainly a shit ton of arcade ports.
Backwards compatible with older.
I was going to get to that. Thank you for stepping into that, but that also takes a
PlayStation 3
takes a feather out of the PlayStation 2 cap. Before PlayStation 2 was out, Atari 7800 was the first console that had backwards compatibility. And here's something funny: it's either the Intellivision or the ColecoVision. That console, one of them had an Atari 2600 converter.
What?
Literally, you would be able to plug in a peripheral, like an add-on, into your Coleco or Intellivision. One of those consoles have it.
Let me put in my Xbox converter into my PlayStation.
That's what I'm getting at.
That's crazy.
You would never would that happen now. We got a great invention for your PlayStation 3. We're going to allow your PlayStation 3 to play Xbox 360 games. It's a marketing nightmare. What were they thinking?
Well, it's competing companies. They never do that.
Yeah, that's.
What were they thinking? You come out with a system to market against the Atari 2600, and you go, I know how we'll sell more units. We'll attach something that'll play Atari 2600 games.
Well, was there a reason for that?
Where's your software library? So, anyway, getting back to the Atari 7800, Atari 7800 is a system that gets to why video games were made, and it's skill. And it doesn't matter about graphics, and it's just down-home family computer system fun.
But I'm a graphics snob now. because of these PS.
That is what we've been evolved into, though.
You have
PC games and you have PlayStation 3 games, and people think now it's the same thing with film. It's like Avatar. What's the first thing you think about it? Standalone. Let's take opinions aside. I don't want to get into it about opinions
we're
of the
purely
movie.
Visual.
Is but that Avatar aesthetics? The Last Airbender or the movie Avatar?
The movie Avatar, the blue. The naked blue
we've
people.
Literally naked blue people, okay.
We've
no blue dicks like
we've literally,
Watchmen.
Watchmen. We've literally gone into a visual generation as well, and it's almost connecting hands with our last segment, but we are so fixated on the visuals of something. That's our television. Telephone
okay,
going off in the other.
It's
television
flashing
going off
light.
In the
what
other.
Is
television.
Yes.
Telephone.
Speaking of visual generation, telephone. There's a flashing red light, and telephone. Sean's like, "What's going on? What's going?" On? He's like, "He's like a cat."
You're like Pavlov.
Yeah. If
and
you
the
put
dogs.
The flashlight in the wall, I'd probably chase it.
Pavlov and the dogs. You ring the bell, and he goes gets the food.
Yeah.
Anyway, like those games and the old game library of retro gaming consoles before you step into like Genesis and stuff like that and TurboGrafx, you have. A console that had a library of arcade games, and people go, "Oh, well, arcade games are so hard and everything like that." Arcade gaming.
Well, they were designed to make money.
They're designed to dump quarters into.
They're meant to be unbeatable.
Yeah.
Well, not exactly unbeatable, but
well, pretty much unbeatable.
The level of challenge to
just
them.
Just look at Pac-Man. You can't.
And just think.
My mom is very good at Pac-Man. Very good at Pac-Man.
Yeah, Sean has
just,
a Pac-Man cab in his.
I
basement.
Have a Pac-Man machine in my basement, and. It's ridiculous. I've
just think though, like how good you feel about yourself though when you play a game like that, and you're able to
post that high score.
And I mean the sad thing about it back then is that there was no battery backup on the cartridges, so you couldn't like save your high score. I mean, you could write it on your wall or something like that, but. Could you imagine, like, having, like, on your wall, you literally took, like, a beat-ass, like, Crayola crayon and just started writing, like, Yar's Revenge, like,
instead of measuring
32
your height, you
million
measured
points.
Your high
I did this September 12th.
You're never growing.
1976. I've scored 3 million points in Yar's Revenge.
Of course, none of your friends would believe you.
No, but you could write it. You could write it for your own personal benefit.
And you couldn't take your cell phone camera and you snap
a picture
of it.
Yeah, I took out my Polaroid and I took a Polaroid of my high score.
Now what is the
I beat Galaxy in 97 times. I took a picture of it with my Bolex.
What is the last truly hard console game that you've played? Truly challenging. Not Dark Souls or Demon's Souls that are just fun. Those don't count.
Yeah, they're designed to be hard. That's not the point of games.
Like a new gen.
We'll
go back
to
PS2.
I was about to say Dig Dug on the 7800.
No, but that's not, like our generation. So, PS2, like GameCube, Dreamcast.
PS2
we can go as far back as Dreamcast.
Truly challenging. I don't
Genesis.
I have honestly I kind of stopped console gaming around Genesis and pure
PC
game
for
the longest.
Just
challenging campaign, most challenging
but
campaign.
But you can't, don't use it like open world games either, because that's not a storyline.
I'm talking about
chapters.
Challenging
like a pre-made
games.
Campaign,
I don't know.
It's very difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like a new age game that's truly challenged you.
Well, dead air. I can't think of anything.
Is your mind blown?
Yeah, I can't.
I'm trying to think. I'm really trying to think what a really challenging game that I played on a console. What do you think?
I didn't have a game ready though, because it is really difficult off the top of your head.
Yep.
It's just you can increase difficulty and make it harder, but that doesn't really make it harder. It
just makes the computer cheat more.
Hard. SOCOM campaigns were actually pretty difficult. The first SOCOM campaign, I was just really into those games. And
well, you play Call of Duty on Veteran, it just kills you for no
reason. That doesn't count
no
either.
No reason. Yeah, it's like Demon's Souls. It kills you for just no reason.
Keep going. I have to open the door. My girlfriend's here at the station.
Oh, good for you, Greg. Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll just keep
going. Never mind, Rob Cunningham's got it.
Bob
Cunningham's
got
it.
He-Man. Cunningham. Yes, that's...
Oh, God.
That's where we're going.
So, yeah, the games now, they're not as challenging as they used to be. But you know what? You go back to a SNES game or a Genesis game, they're hard.
Like, I'll say Sonic. Sonic was pretty tough.
Yeah, and you beat it when you were 8
and
years
old. And that was tough, and you were stoked.
But there's a memorization level to it.
Yeah.
And another thing with that, though, is when I was 8, 10 to like 15, 16 years old, I didn't have the money or the resources to be like...
Oh, I got one.
Yeah.
Mario 64.
See...
Is that does that qualify as that, open world? That's but that's still no, that levels though that, you have to
achieve. That game is
so
ridiculously hard. But that's I wouldn't call that a modern game though.
You don't think like
that's
I said that
game.
Was a lot.
That's
I guess
so old.
Like a PS2 gen
PS2
game.
PS2
they still made those
on.
Games pretty easy. I'd say
yeah,
PS2
but,
games.
But what I'm saying though is that the difficulty level in those games is what I was saying was that when I was 8 to 15 or whatever, I didn't have the resources to buy all the new releases when I wanted to or get all the
true,
games when I wanted
true.
To. I had that game is what I got for Christmas, and I had that game for, you know, months. That was the only game I played, so I played the hell out of it, and I got really good at it. Now, you know, they release games over and over and over, and they want people to be able to get in them, beat them, and want the next game.
COD got it down to a
COD,
science.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Every 18 months, we'll
they
make a
the
new.
They are the marquee
thank
franchise
you,
to do that.
Thank you, Activision.
Yeah, just
yeah,
even
ruining
that
gaming.
Halo. People are all about that with Halo. I'm
Halo.
Not a I'm you not know, an Xbox guy. I'm not a PS3 fanboy or a PlayStation fanboy. I just always went PlayStation way.
Yeah, what exclusives does the Xbox really have other than Halo?
It used to have Mass Effect, not anymore.
Yeah, no. No, well,
moved it to PC,
like I said,
and it's much better on PC.
I didn't start console gaming, and by console gaming I mean I got a PS2 like 3 years ago. That's when I started console gaming recently. Until between then, it was Sega Genesis era and then PC all through that span.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I recently just evolved into a PC gamer.
Yeah, that's...
And me as well.
That's where we think it's going. Greg and I were talking about that earlier today. With you guys.
There's just more a bigger horizon on PC, because PCs are constantly getting better and bigger and faster, better graphics, going. It's just almost endless possibilities.
Specs-wise, you look at the Xbox 360. Now, the PS3 is an impressive machine, but you look at the Xbox 360, it's kind of a pathetic, like, from a PC gaming building.
Yeah.
You know, the level of, you know, hardware on it is, like, kind of like, oh, that's, like, my computer from 2003.
Yeah. And they always say, like, Xbox 360 gamers always feel like they're superior for some reason, but they've gone against PC gamers and have been defeated pretty handily.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the Games for Windows Live was supposed to, they actually had it, they built the whole thing, Microsoft had it ready, they were doing beta testing on it with, they had the, you know, the MLG gamer Halo whatever, and they pitted them against, you know, some random interns. The MLG guys were on Xbox and the interns were on the PC. The professional, these are people who make a living playing Halo, just got smacked down by the PC because keyboard and mouse is just the way to play a first-person shooter. It's just the way to do
exactly.
it. Exactly.
So. Yeah.
So did you do your console? Or did we jump right to me?
What? Yeah, I voted PS2.
Yeah.
Like I said, I brought up the dashboard. It's just, I think overall, PS2 was well-balanced. It had a lot of great titles. It seemed like developers just had more freedom to create.
Well, that's going back to the PC.
Yeah, that's why I feel now, because consoles have kind of, they've slowed down in their innovation, and it's stagnant now almost.
Yeah, we have all
PCs
these
have continued to grow at a steadier pace. They're actually growing more rapidly now, I feel like.
Yeah, and there's all
just
these
the capabilities.
Developers.
Just look at your, now they're making 4-core processors in your phone that you absolutely do not need. There is no need to have 4-core processor in your phone.
Not at all.
For texting and, you know, searching the web occasionally and looking on Facebook.
Yeah,
that's about it.
The Nokia N-Gage did not work, you know, 10 years ago. Why?
Why would it work now?
Nokia's made some pretty tanky phones. could literally toss them 30 feet in the air.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I had a, you know, one of those candy bar brick things, you know, back in the day.
Yep.
I literally tossed it.
Because this phone is indestructible. Watch.
Literally
just
tossed
launch it
on concrete.
I'll throw this out my window, guys. Wait.
But if a single drop of water hit one of them,
fried it.
It
just
sparks, flames.
Yeah.
Phone will self-destruct in 30 seconds.
Well, I think we've encompassed everything that we were going to talk about the consoles right now. So we will take a break. We'll come back with, I guess, those sports news you were talking about, Sean. We'll get into that when we come back right here, Mick and Manny in the Morning. Alice in Chains. See if I can get the rest of this right now when we start talking again. We're back here, Mick and May in the morning. We're going to get back
good
into
for you.
Our... the host, follow the host. The host has finally been able to come back and not stumble over my words. But, you know, I forgot to plug this. We have an email address.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd like to email us. To bring up,
better late than never.
Yeah, yeah. And let by now, no one's listening, so it's
everybody shut the damn thing off now. They're like, who the hell are these assholes?
I don't even know where to email
but
them.
But if you
I don't even want to send them hate mail. They're so awful. They're not even worth it.
Hey, we can start talking crap. We can start talking crap on Juggalos.
Oh, yeah. We did consider that.
And
we'll
then we could just get hate mail. And then we could have a whole episode on Juggalo.
One thing at a time, fellas. One thing at a time.
But if you feel the need to shoot us an email, it's Mick, M-I-K, and, as in the word and, May, M-A-Y, is in the
as
month.
As in the month of May.
Mornings at gmail.com. So that's Mick and May Mornings at gmail.com. Tell us we suck. Tell us we're great. Ask me a question. Really doesn't matter. But
we're just desperate for your attention.
And it's out there. So, you know, if you enjoy what you're hearing, this is episode one. Of course, you know, it's always a little weak the first time, and then things, the ball starts to roll as things get more organized.
The balls.
But maybe website and things to come later on, but we'll see what's going on with that. But I thought it would be best that if we started to get into, Sean had some sports stories for us, so let's see what you got going on with that.
All right, well, I mentioned this a little earlier, I'm sure most of you know already that Rutgers, New Brunswick head coach Mike Rice was recently fired for his video abusive behavior towards his players. He was apparently grabbing them very, you know, physically, like, you know, threatening, violent, you know, and he was throwing, he threw a basketball at their heads and hit another player in the head, and he was calling them homophobic slurs, like fairy was used.
I don't know. I thought that's just what coaches
did. I agree with that.
Go into the football locker
room. But where he definitely crossed the line with the homophobic slurs. It's just that you just can't do it. You can't do it in 2013 in society. It's just not acceptable.
I'll say again, go into the football locker room after they lose a game and listen to what that coach is saying.
I totally agree, but I personally, if you're going to get, you don't know who's watching. And somebody was watching him.
Everyone
he got
was
caught.
And everyone was worried.
But
about
the interesting part about this was that actually the athletic director, who's named Tim Pernetti, resigned today, which is April. Let's say April. 6th.
Let me break out the Mick and May in the Morning calendar app.
It's
on the iTunes.
I have
store.
No
sorry.
Idea what day it is.
I actually don't know what day it is.
April 6th, 2006. 1987.
He resigned today, earlier today, April 6th, this morning. Apparently to cover his own ass because he was probably going to get fired.
And now they're headhunting.
What interesting is this happened before. This video happened before his behavior. This happened and it actually had stopped, but this video leaked out. So the university public image, I'm not sure what exactly it did. I knew it was months previous. I don't think it may have even been a year and it was just retroactive. The initial punishment by Pernetti was a 3-game suspension. That was it for this abusive behavior.
Fined? I thought he was fined.
I think he was fined $50,000 by the university and suspended for 3 games, which is actually a pretty light punishment.
Yeah,
I personally believe if you hear that they're calling him, you know, homos and fairies, you got to get fired right on the spot, in my opinion. And he's throwing basketballs just at their heads. It's just that's the crossing the line.
If you can dodge a basketball, you can dodge a dodgeball.
Oh, rim shot. But yeah, I mean, it's just that you can't do it. And now, like I said before, they're looking to just clean house up there and fire the university.
It's just overreacting.
Fire the president of the university. And I'm not sure of his name, but I think that's taken a little too far. I feel like what had to be done has been done. I feel like he was fired, and the athletic director probably would have been fired, but he resigned, and they're gone. And actually, it's a shame because it ties into another school. Phil Martelli is the coach of this St. Joe's basketball team. Sorry,
is it Philadelphia?
Yeah, Philly. Phil Martelli is the head coach. His son was actually an assistant head coach at Rutgers, and he was doing the same kind of thing—physical abuse to the players. He was just following the lead of Rice, and
yeah,
he actually resigned himself. It's really a shame because he's a young guy, and his dad, obviously, Phil, is a very well-respected head coach, and a very, you know, taking his team to the Final Four. They had a great run, and so it's just, then that ties into just our society in general. Are we overly sensitive to certain things, you know,
calling people homos
and fairies, or just simple names of things?
I think somewhat, but in the same token, I think there's been an awakening to other things that haven't been looked upon before. Like, take something as simple as like bullying in schools. That's something courts didn't want to touch. That's something administrations didn't want to touch.
That's another reason this story is so hot right now, because a student recently committed suicide at Rutgers because he was bullied for being a homosexual. So that's why a lot of people are so outraged by this, that this has to stop, this kind of derogation of
going back to what was mentioned before, the when we were talking about that movie Catfish, you said you called them mentally handicapped, which, okay, go way back, they were just called mentally retarded. Okay, that's just not right. Let's call them mentally handicapped. Now, I actually work in a special needs school, and that's not a politically correct term anymore. The terminology keeps changing. Now, it's learning disabled.
Is that really what it is?
Yeah.
Wow.
You cannot use the term mentally handicapped.
Actually, George Carlin did have a thing about this to us. It's like, it used to be, you know, World War One, shell-shocked.
Yeah,
when they were getting bombarded, and they got really... they just mentally shot, and who can blame them? These guys came back, they were shell-shocked, and then in World War II, it was battle fatigue, and then it was...
Post-traumatic
stress disorder. It just
Gulf War syndrome.
Yes.
Is it Gulf War syndrome now?
They're different. It's the same...
Well, for Gulf War...
It'll be something else next week.
Yes, the same condition, just they make it sound more sophisticated. Now, does that... Now, it's just a misnomer or a different name for something.
It's a euphemism.
Yeah, a euphemism.
War is messed up.
What?
it's a euphemism.
Are we too sensitive to these kind of things nowadays?
I think so. Back on your sports thing, I was just browsing Facebook, social networking.
There you go.
And,
instead of talking to us, thanks, Greg.
Yeah, sitting over there in silence.
Being self-disclosed. But the interesting thing for sports, Target we used to work at, Michael Vick and Trent Cole were in Target today.
Oh yeah,
of Philadelphia Eagles.
That's a cool story. Cool story, bro.
Jerk face.
My mom.
Jerk face posted that.
My mom calls Michael Vick the dog rapist.
Wow, that's.
She's like, oh, you know that dog rapist.
That's adorable.
Speaking of being politically incorrect.
Speaking of being PC, the dog rapist.
And another, there's a few other interesting topics on the euphemisms and names.
We're so worried
offensive.
About offending everyone that you can't.
No
matter what you say, you're going to bother someone, so don't go out of your way. Like, you're just wasting so much time and energy, and you just sound ridiculous when you use these terms.
But the restaurant that was, it was called Chink's. It's a South Philly steak.
Yeah, it's now Joe's Steak and Soda.
The guy who founded it was, I think he was an Asian American now. Is he dead now? But he did die. But the guy who founded it, I think he was Asian at the time, like in the 40s.
He was Asian at the time, but then he switched over.
Yeah, well, he was Asian in the 1940s. In the 1940s, he was Asian. And, you know, as you know, there were internment camps and the whole thing for the Japanese because of Pearl Harbor. But that little thing. But they called him Chinks, and people didn't think anything of it because it was just generally accepted because that was the state of the United States at the time.
Similar, in the 70s, the proper term for African American, they referred to themselves as Negroes. And now if you...
Or colored people.
Or colored, yeah. But if you used either of those terms today, done.
Oh, yeah. They would go off.
You. Yeah.
It's just amazing where we are, how we've evolved as a society.
But we haven't evolved. We're just, you know, whitewashing over the racism.
Yeah,
just calling it a different name doesn't change the sentiment behind it. Calling someone, you know, learning disabled or mentally handicapped or mentally retarded, you're still saying the same thing.
Yeah, and it's not meant in malice. It's just a different name for something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then you got to say if it's not offensive to you, it could still be offensive to someone else. So.
But no matter what you say, you're going to offend someone.
You have to respect it. I mean, and another thing was... the Redskins, I've heard this story come up many times.
Yeah.
The Redskins team, is, as you know, it's a derogation. It could be viewed as a derogation towards Native Americans or American Indians or what have you.
Yeah, whatever the current politically correct term for them is now.
But I don't agree with the fact that they should change their name, because that the NFL, every team is a established brand. The Redskins are a brand in the NFL. Yeah. And that's a billion-dollar corporation.
What about the Braves? Are they going to have to change their name, too?
That was another thing, too. The Braves, the Chiefs, the Redskins, the Seminoles. They got the Florida State Seminoles had to have permission from the Seminole tribe to have that name. And they do the stupid chant, because we're Phillies fans and we deal with the Braves.
I like, you know, the asshole. Yeah.
Oh, the Phillies do, you know, the yeah. FU at the stadium.
Or if you go to a Wings game, they'll say, like, the player, and they'll be like, you know, number three, blah, 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 and then they'll be like, sucks.
Yeah. But I know that, like, they've had to change their logo a few times. They just had the R. There was just a single feather in the back, it used to be. Mm-hmm. Just a single feather on the helmet behind them. And they changed it to a spear. They've gone so many lengths, and it's just hard.
But my question is, who's actually offended by this?
I assume there are Native American groups out there, or it's just somebody. I heard this on an interesting point. Somebody said if this were a team out in Arizona, it just would have been changed. There wouldn't have even been a big deal about it because there's a large Native American population in Arizona. Since we're on the East Coast and we're just so. This country is very against change, I feel like.
Navajo around here?
No, in Arizona.
It's a large Navajo reservation.
Yeah, definitely. Around here, it's like Lenape and stuff.
Lenape. Yeah. Lenape, Cherokee, and Shawnee High Schools.
Lenape. My boy Lenny Lenape.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just interesting how people view these things nowadays.
Yeah.
Just now, the NAACP, you know, it's just now they were a good organization, you know, it's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. That wouldn't fly nowadays.
Yeah.
It's just.
The NAACP still exists.
They still exist.
I'm just saying.
But, like, the name is anachronistic. But what we're saying is, like, the name itself. Is no longer.
Well, they're not going to change that name, so Washington Redskins have to change their name.
Yeah, that
it's not meant as a derogation or malicious towards Native Americans. That's just what it is.
It's a branding.
They tried to go after the Chiefs for their name change, but they were like, no, not doing that. No, end of story.
Do you think it's going to happen though?
I don't know. It might.
I mean, you're talking uniform changes. You're talking
I'm talking
changes.
About name.
Talking
yeah,
the name. It will be the Washington. Something else.
Yeah, but I'm saying
no longer the Redskins.
Like the uniforms are going to look different.
You're gonna have to come up with a new. That's another thing. They could turn this into a huge revenue boost.
But
think
you can turn
merchandising.
It into
rebrand.
That's what I'm saying. It's a rebrand. You're going to have a new mascot. So
I wouldn't
new
be surprised
jerseys.
If they did.
It could bring in money though.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the NFL is huge.
Everyone will have to buy the jersey.
The sport of the United States.
It's so like if you like a player and they switch teams, you got to buy a new jersey.
Yeah, you buy their jersey. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Look like an idiot wearing a McNabb jersey with the Eagles. It's like, hey, he doesn't play for them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty much it.
All right, so we got a little bit of sports updates. We're going to take one final break. We'll come back. We'll talk about what we've been watching these days, whether it be TV, movies. We can even talk about like music we've been into. What's been entertaining us?
What media have we been consuming?
And we'll get into that right when we come back here, Mick and May in the Mornings. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
kiss for you. One more wish to you. Please make up your mind, girl. I'll do anything for you. A last kiss for you. One more wish to you. Please make up your mind, girl.
Fiction. Heed and Cambria. Mick and May in the morning. We're going to be starting to wrap up the show here with a little new... Everything's new. I was about to say a new segment, but it's a new show.
Everything's new, segments, new to
everything's
us.
Everything's new. So, I don't even have the sounder that I was going to have anymore. I had that Fox...
The 20th Century
yeah,
Fox. Like that.
For like when we were going to talk about what we've been watching lately, but that's okay. But this segment, what... have you been watching lately? What have you been listening to lately? What have you even been playing lately?
Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Show.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant show.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. Okay. Let's have a brief segment of just about Game of Thrones.
Shagement.
Hey, we've all been stumbling and fumbling and flubbling.
It's the first broadcast.
I said co-meeting Cambria. I hit it. I hit it from you guys.
I didn't. You know what? I didn't notice.
Guerrilla Radio or something. I don't even know where
Guerrilla
you went
Radio.
With that.
It's a fusion of Rage Against the
Machine.
That's all, folks. Anyway, Game of Thrones. Last Sunday, the third season premiere.
Spoiler alert.
Everyone, okay, here's a spoiler alert. Everyone dies. That character you like, they're going to die.
Don't get attached
to anyone. Yeah, don't get attached to anyone. But anyway, just general, none spoiler thing. I felt that the.
I meant to play this.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, what?
What are you doing?
Greg, what?
I meant to play
this. I'm trying.
I meant to play
this. You're breaking my concentration!
Whoa, I meant to play this.
Anyway, I felt that the first episode, it kind of bounced around a little. I'm hoping it focuses a little more on the second episode, which airs tomorrow night, I believe, correct?
Yeah, it's just going to – I've read all the books. We both have, so it's going to be very – we're snobs, so it's going to be hard. It's just there's so much content in the third book.
They revealed a character too soon.
Yeah,
like just little details.
They went too far into the book very – very quickly, but it's I get it. It's just going
to
be hard.
They had to bring up to speed all of like you know, this thread. You know, the thing is that these books, they end on like 18 different cliffhangers at once.
I highly recommend reading the books, but just take the show. It's a very well done show, but just take the show for what it is and take the fact that it is a show and you're not going to get everything you want out of it.
And the structure of the third book is really kind of weird because it breaks it into like two time periods, essentially.
Yeah.
And it covers a bunch of characters before this one thing happens and then a bunch of characters after this thing happens. So it's, I don't know how, they're going to break it into two seasons, right?
I believe that's what I heard.
It's also a massive book, so
that's my
impression of Game of
Thrones.
That's the
main HBO show right now that I'm watching, at least.
Yeah, I don't really watch much television. I'm aware that they show shows on it.
You are aware there is a television.
Okay. Greg is going to go to his girlfriend. what's that about?
But we can keep going on what's another show? Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Baking Bread.
Obviously.
Oh man.
Well, so a lot of people are into that. I'm a little disappointed that AMC's kind of feel like they're slacking a little bit with their shows. They're having a hard time just getting them out. You know, everybody's waiting and waiting and waiting, and Breaking Bad isn't coming out till this summer. So
dying after like. This is going to be a slight spoiler, but it is a scene from the first episode, where he have like an M60 in his trunk or something.
Yeah, the first episode of the fifth season, the first half.
Yeah,
of the fifth season. Yeah.
We're just still wondering, M60? What?
What does this mean?
Gun? Yeah. What's going on? Because have they done it every season where the first episode they open up with a clip from the end, like this random shot. Like, I think the one that really is stuck in my mind is where you have the blown up teddy bear floating in a pool, and you don't find out what that was about until the end of that season.
Oh, that was the eyeball. You saw the eyeball in
the
pool.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to break the whole series down for you.
We're just
picking out memorable moments.
Yeah,
and
it's just a thing they do in the series is they put like this image from the end of that season at the very beginning.
And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, and then
you completely lost.
It builds up.
Even if you're
moment.
A diehard fan and you watch every episode, you're still going to be lost.
Yeah, because
even somebody never seen the show, you're like, I don't know. You're just like,
what,
shrug.
Why is that eyeball floating in
there? Yeah, what the hell does that mean? But, you know, it's another highly, highly recommended show.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
But games. Let's go on to games.
What games?
Yep. Games we've been playing.
What have you been playing lately?
Life.
I've been playing the game of life, not the board game.
Well, Sean, Greg, and I used to have, we had a little gaming circle going on until like...
When we had more free time.
And the games kind of dried up.
Except for the podcast.
The games dried up.
True. It's another little lull. There was a long period where there was a long lull of over a year.
There was nothing to play.
Just nothing. Nothing coming out.
The game industry is just like...
Last one we played hardcore was Skyrim, I feel like.
Yeah.
Just the game that I really was excited for was Skyrim. We were playing StarCraft for a little bit, jumping back and forth. We're going old school...
Speaking of old school, I recently picked up on Steam, which has been my favorite source of games lately, either the indie games or like old releases. But I picked up a bunch of games from way back when. It's the series called Gothic. I bought the entire series for like $12. It's like
Can't beat it.
I played this game junior of high school. I had just gotten my wisdom teeth out. And
so you're basically couch ridden, bedridden
for
at least a couple days.
Yeah, I think it was either a Thursday or Friday. I either took off the Thursday or took off the Thursday and the Friday or something like that. But I was out
out of commission.
Yeah, I was out of commission extended weekend on Vicodin the whole time. And I played the balls off this game. I basically pretty much almost completely beat the game in just that weekend because it was all I was doing. And I recently rebought the whole series, and I'm playing through the whole thing again. That's what I'm on right now.
Yeah, Steam is always a good source to find games. It's a good time killer.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, what other shows or movies have you recently watched?
Spring Breakers.
Oh, you keep bringing this up. I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
The best way I've heard it described is... it's a combination between Girls Gone Wild meets Natural Born Killers.
Natural Born Killers was crazy.
Yeah,
that movie was insane.
No, this movie is insane. It's not quite as like
Who's the marquee actress or actor star?
Well, James Franco.
Okay.
And then there's a bunch of like.
I can't believe I've never even really seen.
I don't know.
Previews or.
I don't really know any of them, but there's this. Let me think. Ashley Benson, Vanessa Hudgens, Selena Gomez, and Corinne something or other. Uh-huh. I've never seen anything with any of them.
Is it
before.
Just like a party movie or.
Yeah, okay.
Synopsis a little bit.
Brief synopsis. Okay. You have this group of four girls. They're in college, and they're all the three. One of them's like really.
They get naked at the end.
Some of them do get naked. I think it's the Corinne girl gets like really naked.
Like
during
gets
the course
really
of it.
Naked.
There's a lot of nudity in this movie. A lot of violence. It has all the things that people like. But there's this group of four girls. They're all friends. One of them's like kind of really into Christianity. We'll say.
I think this kid wants
but
you.
But the other, yeah, we have some weird goofball in the other room looking at us through the window. But anyway, group of three friends. One of them's you know kind of like a good girl, but the rest of them are you know typical you know kind of trashy you know suburban white girls. But they've been
saving up.
He definitely
wants you.
They've been saving up.
I'm back, by the way, guys.
Oh, yeah. No one cares about you, Greg.
Shut up.
He's the one manning the soundboard, so he gets to put sound effects on himself. But
tell that guy to save it for later.
I know.
I'll be out in 5 minutes.
It's like a magnum, too. He's like 4 feet tall.
God.
I know, right? Just
right.
The tip.
Let me finish here. Just let me finish. That's
you know, the show was very serious up until this point.
That's what she said, yeah. I wish we had a curtain. Okay. Four groups of friends. One's kind of a goody girl.
What are we talking about?
Three of my
Spring Breakers.
Shut up! Let me finish! All right.
All right, you can't yell like that on this podcast.
I was really
yelling on the podcast.
I know.
I'm going to have a hell of a time editing
no
that.
No yelling on the podcast.
Anyway, I'll pull back next time. I'll pull out.
So
please.
I know there's four friends. They go
four
on a spring
friends.
Break
no,
trip.
No, they're
and...
no. That's the thing. They've been saving up all year. They don't have enough money. So the three bad girls, I'm just going to call them the bad girls, they rob a chicken shack. They hold it up at gunpoint with squirt guns and a hammer, and they rob this chicken shack like straight up Pulp Fiction style.
Wow, that's awesome.
And they get enough money to go on the spring break, and they go down there, and they're having a great time. You know, the Christian girl is like opening up, and you know they're doing their thing. They wind up at this party that in a hotel room, and it goes crazy. The Corinne girl, they're you know doing lines of coke off of her naked body. They're trashing the room. They're like punching holes in the ceiling and everything. And the cops wind up coming, and they get arrested. Everyone gets arrested. They're appearing before the judge. It's like either pay a fine or serve three
or go
days,
on spring break
or pay or no this they've already asked spring break, and this is where the James Franco character like really comes in, and he's like this local wannabe rapper, but he's actually just a drug dealer. And he bails them out, and then it just gets weird for them.
Would you say this is a must-see?
Absolutely.
Would you say it's a must-see?
It is a must-see. And, like, just, like...
Rated R, I assume.
Absolutely rated R. But
NC-17.
There's, like, this huge shift when he comes into the scene. Like, it's, like, almost like it's two movies, but it works so well.
Well, we could make this a regular thing, a segment, where we'll have a list of movies, and... We'll say, what is a must-see, or what do you want to see, or what have you seen? Yeah, must-see would be what have you seen.
That's what we're watching segment.
Yeah.
So it's...
But, like, what do I want to see right now? I really want to see, like, Zero Dark Thirty. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah,
I know it's kind of old. I haven't seen The Hobbit yet.
The Hobbit was very good.
Yes. It was a little rushed, but...
Again, that's a book. So
yeah, it's a book.
Snob.
Yeah,
snob. The whole snob thing comes into play.
And the book wasn't that great. When it comes down to it,
it's a short book.
By comparison to The Lord of the Rings.
Well, they're just fantastic, obviously.
Yeah, but same author, but it's almost like it's like a prototype for The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's basically, it's a prelude. He was just like taking a first kind of like this first podcast, his inaugural kind of.
Yeah, so basically,
this
podcast is The Hobbit. The next one will be The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, well, I certainly hope so.
An absolute masterpiece.
I haven't seen Les Mis yet. I don't know if that's. That's a little.
I've seen the stage production.
Not manly of me.
I've seen the stage production. I don't know, man. That
I appreciate
the play
a well done though, like theater play or well, like talent. I appreciate talent.
The play has prisoners and prostitutes and
it's a pretty. It's
murder.
An old play, isn't it?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
famous.
Yeah, very old.
Famous.
Yeah,
yeah,
but I've seen the stage production. It's excellent. I've heard mixed reviews on it. As far as the movie goes, I've heard people say it was great, and I've heard people say it didn't really work as a movie because
it's a theater. That is a theater, like because I have a hard time seeing, you know, like Anne Hathaway is a fantastic actress, but it's just a hard time seeing. I don't know how she did singing, but these, I mean, they're well trained, like Russell Crowe and stuff. They're very skilled, very talented actors who can, I imagine, sing. It's just hard to imagine, you know.
Well, anyone can
Maximus Decimus Meridius singing.
It's a little
singing theater,
but I'm sure it's a really good movie, though. I'd like to check
it
out.
Well, like I said, I've heard mixed reviews on it. Some people, I'm sure, it's like based on their theater experience. Some people have loved it, and some people have said it didn't really work as a film.
Some movies or play productions should just like Phantom of the Opera. They made that a movie. That should just stick to a theater, a play.
Are you talking about the silent film, or
I don't know. I'm sure they've made. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure they've made movies, you know, with words speaking. Phantom of the Opera, yeah. But
well, okay, that's another thing. The Les Mis movie is true to the stage production in that there is no spoken dialogue; it is all in song.
Yeah,
everything.
Everything. Yeah, it's a.
There's
no spoken.
In song?
There's no.
There's,
is it?
Is it?
So, Greg, what you weigh in here? What are you watching?
Yeah, I can round it out here, but it's probably bullcrap compared to what you guys have been watching. There's a little movie I've revisited. It's called Savage Streets.
Black Dynamite.
Okay, before you go, I'm gonna let you finish. But Greg is this. He's trapped in the past. He's a huge.
He was
retro,
born 20 years after he should have been.
Yeah, he's a huge retro fan. He loves. He collects VHS tapes, records, old video. His favorite console is
Atari 26, whatever.
I'm sure they know.
He knew what a Magnavox Eclipse was, or whatever the hell that you said earlier.
Yeah, so whatever
Odyssey,
movie.
Magnavox, excuse me.
Eclipse.
Mitsubishi
Eclipse.
Is that an Eclipse? A Mitsubishi Eclipse?
Is it a VR4?
They're great cars. They're the best cars ever made.
Yeah. I just wish you weren't a liar.
Yeah, we're trying out new sound bites here.
We're gonna be heavier on the soundboard.
Well, we're getting a Black Dynamite soundboard. We'll save that. That's gonna be a treat.
Anyway, continue. Now I'm gonna let you finish. Now Taylor Swift, go on about Savage Streets.
It really is wonderful.
Anyway, was terrible.
Put that cookie down
now. Anyway, there's a movie called Savage Streets starring Linda Blair. Notice how she didn't really get too much work after The Exorcist because everybody's like, "Oh, demon bitch. Oh, god." Anyway. Well, it's about her and her group of friends, and she has a deaf sister. Let me finish.
Dead air.
And there's this group, there's this gang, it's like a dope slinging gang called the Scars. And they got this guy, Vincent, and who's like kind of into it, but like he's still kind of leery. He thinks like they're just really two bad dudes. Like he thought they were cool at first.
He's bad enough dude to save the president.
He's not a bad enough dude to save the president. So what happens is... they almost hit the deaf girl with their car, the Scars, in the beginning of the movie. As I'm trying to get my glasses off here. And she couldn't hear the horn because they like bitch at her. They're like, "Oh, couldn't you hear the fucking horn or
something?"
No.
And I am a bad person.
That's like, that was so un-PC of you. That sounds like a broken, like, Skyline horn. Like,
well, I would have done sign language, but we're on radio, so, you know, you can't.
Anyway, what happens is they, the girls like to get back at them. They steal their, like, car and trash it, literally by dumping cans of trash into it. And, like, the guy.
They literally trash it.
They dump. What? So, they dump cans of trash.
Oh, like an El Camino?
No, it was like a Bel Air, like a convertible Bel Air.
That's a crime.
So of course, like the guys are not too happy about that. So they find where they go to high school, and I'm gonna see if I can find this like a line here on my phone while we're at it. It's gonna be horrible audio, but I can always
don't do it, Greg.
All right,
yeah,
we're just
bag
gonna,
it.
We're gonna pause for 15 seconds. And that's, now that's big enough
to. That wasn't 15 seconds. I was still. I was ready to pause. I was ready to pause.
So there's a quote in the movie which you just heard.
You need a rim shot, or a long. You need a short and a long rim shot.
Anyway, what happens is they go into school to pick Vince up one day. When they find where the girls go to high school is the same high school that Vince, the guy that's into it but not really into it, goes to high school. And you know John Vernon, the guy who plays the dean in Animal House?
Yeah.
Well, he's the principal of the high school.
Dean Wormer.
What was he, typecast as a school administrator?
So
that was his job, school administrator.
That and Warden. He was like the Warden in Chained Heat, that Women in Prison movie in the 80s anyway. But anyway, that's beyond the point. What happens is the gang goes in and like they're shaking down some guy for drug money. And the principal walks up to them and he's like, you know, what the hell are you doing at my school? And they say, oh, we're here to pick Vince up. And he's like, and he goes, you know, all like, you're sick, Vince. And like, and the gang guy's like, yeah, he's got the clap. He's burning up.
Who's got the clap? Who's got the clap?
So they're like, he's burning up. And literally John Vernon looks at them and he goes, go fuck an iceberg.
I've heard you say that before.
Go
I have heard
iceberg.
You say that before. Fucking iceberg.
That was I think that was our first fuck on the iPod.
Well, now
or iCast.
The
podcast.
The radcast.
The pod cry.
We're gonna combine all these.
Then I got Gamecast.
All these fuck ups into one fuck up.
Great, Sean. With all those fucks you just dropped, we are no longer qualifying as PG-13.
Well, we now have the explicit bumper.
We could probably cut this out.
Anyway, yeah. Or we could bleep it. Anyway,
that's a lot of beeps.
So what happens is.
Hey, blank my blank blank.
What's happens is because they find the girls where they go to school, and like Linda Blair gets in a fight with like one of these cheerleaders, and like the whole like her gang's like hanging out with that. So like the deaf girl's by herself. So the one guy, Red, who's like in the gang of the Scars, he like lures the deaf girl, and then the whole gang rapes her. So as you can see from there,
gang raped.
So what you can see from there, Linda Blair also, later on, they kill one of her friends. Spoiler alert. So at that point, Linda Blair's had it. So she goes to an army surplus store and buys a crossbow, bear traps, and all these other things, and hunts down...
Your local Rambo Mart.
Yeah, your local First Blood Part 2
Mart. Wait,
what was
this movie called?
Savage Streets.
It sounds like Take Me to My Grave or something.
I Spit on Your Grave?
I Spit on Your Grave. It sounds exactly like it.
It's a remake. That's a remake. The new one that just came out.
That was gruesome.
The original has a 20-minute rape scene. We're going to cut that out.
20-minute rape scene. Indeed.
20-minute rape scene.
This one, the new one, has a very long rape scene as well.
Anyway, so Linda Blair kills them all one by one.
Hmm.
That's what I've watched
lately.
The end.
Yay.
Yay.
So,
eat the whole sandwich. I'll finish it later. Yay.
Well, it looks like that's all we have for today, but that is the first crack.
Inaugural.
I still can't talk. Maybe I'll be able to talk by episode 2.
Thank you, Chewy. Thank you.
All right.
Well, thanks for tuning in if you just happen to stumble across this on the internet and listen to it.
Again, I'm Mick.
I'm Greg.
I'm Sean.
And you're listening to Mick and May in the Morning. Give us an email, mickandmaymornings@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about it.
Bye.
That's Mick with a K, no C, just to let you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with more. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Bye.